Christmas and was able to celebrate with family or friends of some kind. And this is the time of year. It seems a little odd to me if you kind of step away from our cultural setting to have something new, like a new year, start in the dead of winter when everything's dead, right? And all this history of why we have the Gregorian calendar and why things start when they do doesn't necessarily make sense with the outside world, yet we're a couple days away from feeling like we're in the future, right? When I say 2019, am I the only one that's like, I feel like I'm living in the future right now? Like, such a weird number to say that I'm living in. And, you know, what people thought 100 years ago would happen by now, some of those things have probably come true, but probably a lot of people thought we'd have flying cars and maybe have colonized other planets, and who knows what the future's going to hold. But we are on the doorstep, and I think it's an opportunity for us. It maybe is a God's opportunity for the people of God to just take stock at this time of year and to reflect and to think about some things deeply. It's a window of opportunity. And so I just wanted to lead us into some time together, even corporately. We're going to have some time to share in small groups corporately of some things that have been happening either this past year or what we're looking ahead. So be thinking about that. But as somebody that can tend towards a little bit of a type A, a little more linear, you know, give me the bullet points type of thinking, there's a part of me that relishes the new year because it's like, all right, let me get this document open and start writing down all these goals and all these resolutions. And I'm going to start doing 500 push-ups every day. And I'm going to start doing all this stuff every day. And gym memberships, right, they soar in January. And then by mid-January, they're largely abandoned. And there's something within us, maybe for some of us. Some of us, maybe it's like, yeah, never want a goal in my life, whatever. For some of us, though, this is like, I'm chomping at the bit to do something. I really want to start something. Maybe, again, maybe it's physically. Maybe it's intellectually. You want to really read a certain amount of things or pursue deeper learning and education, whatever it might be. And I think it's, again, an opportunity to maybe pursue some of those things, but to look even a little bit deeper at what is God up to? What is God up to in my world, in my family? What is God up to at Beggar's Gate? Where is the Lord leading us? And to just get our heads up a little bit and say, what's happening? What's happening, Lord? Where are you taking us? And I want to walk us through a little bit of that this morning. And so I want to start by looking at an Old Testament prophet. You can turn with me and swipe on your phone to Haggai 1. And while you're getting there, Haggai's a lesser-known minor prophet. And he's speaking after the Jews have come back from Babylon, and the temple was destroyed, their place of worship where God's Shekinah presence was, it had been destroyed, and they have come back, and they've started to work. They've gotten after it. Maybe there's a lot of Type A folks here that they're just starting to really want to chomp at the bit at some things. And the Lord's interaction with them is a little startling to me. And we'll just read it together, starting in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much and behold, it came to little, and when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above, you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. And so God is using this prophet really to say, consider your ways. Stop. Take stock. You're eating, but you never have your fill. You're unsatisfied. You guys are just busy going through this pattern. You're on this treadmill of something that you've set your mind on. It's not working. I'm calling you to stop and consider your ways. And I've felt more and more convinced in my own life, in my family's life, that there is a growing energy that this world has of a treadmill that it wants us to be on and just walking mindlessly through our lives and just floating along and maybe never even really stopping to consider our ways and saying, why is it that I'm never hungry? Why is it that this just never feels resolved? Why is it that this relationship has always felt embittered? And to never stop and consider our ways. And we can get right on that same march that those Israelites, and God's saying, hello, I've got something huge here that I want to do with my house. Instead of just this little path that you're walking on with your paneled house, I've got something big going on here. And so I think God's call is similar to what the book of Proverbs in chapter 4, he says, it all starts with our heart, but there's a word that I love. It's ponder. Ponder here, and it's all over Scripture. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Like I said, I feel this. I don't know if you guys feel this as well. There's just this charged momentum in the world of not considering, of not pondering, right? I can binge watch for weeks. I can order food to my house. I never need to leave my house. I can really feed my carnal comforts as much as I possibly want to. I want seafood, I can get seafood right now. If I want Thai food, I can get Thai food. There's just so much at our fingertips that we get marched into this treadmill life and we never stop and consider our ways. Where am I headed? Where is this going? What if I become best friends with Alexa? What might happen to my life if that would happen, right? If I'm just swarmed in this world of constantly getting updates of everything, am I ever going to get a chance to just stop and consider my ways? And so for the first kind of act, or whatever you want to call it, of this morning, I just want to call us to do that in small groups as a community. And so there's a couple of questions up here. You're not going to have time to get through all of these. But a big takeaway this morning that I want to encourage / challenge / urge you in is over this next week, as an individual, as a family, what it might look like to stop and reflect and to consider your ways in any arena of life. And to look back, not just maybe on 2018, it's nice to have a 365 calendar and to say we're starting something new, but to just stop as a whole and say, can we consider, can we reflect in some ways? So, and to reflect, are there any hidden blessings that God brought into your life this past year? Is there any way in which God showed his grace in an unexpected way? Are there major events this past year that you need to celebrate and remember and toast? Or are there things you need to lament or mourn or to say, I'm grieving through this? Are there relationships this past year that God used to encourage and convict and to build you? That did God, like in Haggai, postpone or oppose your plans in anything this past year? Did he prosper and bless your plans in something this past year? And deeper, what insecurities or fears might God be beginning to expose or reveal inside of you? Where is God at work in what we call this normal day-to-day life And I just don't want to be on the treadmill. I want to stop, consider my ways. Where is God at work? What is he up to? What is he up to in this community? What are these relationships? How are they growing me? How are they building me? So I want to give you, 5 to 10 minutes here. And just the people next to you, you could talk as couples, you could talk as friends, whatever size group, probably no more than four would be good, just so everybody can share. And pick one of these or pick something else that you want to reflect on where God is starting to move. If there was a radar on your life and God popped up, boop, boop, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm up to. This is what is happening. To reflect and to mention it and to not just move, but to stop and consider. Okay? So I'll give you 5 to 10 minutes. Let's do it right now as a group here. Yeah. Yes, yes. All right. Okay. If my laptop can survive that fall, then I can survive anything. Oh, thanks. So again, obviously not enough time at all to reflect on the whole year. But when you think about how God wrote through the Old Testament different festivals and different remembrances that he called his people into, the Passover, remembering this great thing that he had done, every year is to be a remembrance. And again, this is just an opportunity as the year is ending for you to reflect. However, I do want to have a quick aside here because I think this is really important as we're reflecting, as we're making goals or expectations or whatever, is who is the main character of my story? And so much of, certainly a lot of the Christian world can just be self-help and really self-focused. And a lot of times, as I start to get inside and say, this is what I want to do in 2019, I'm really viewing myself as the main character. And viewing myself as, you know, I want to walk away from the battle. Just explosions behind me, and I'm still standing, and look at what I did. When in reality, I'm that one guy that was like the side stage person in the first scene and is gone later, right? Jesus is the main character. He is the main character, and in 2018, he wanted to become more and more of the main character of my life. In 2019, he's going to want to become even more of the main character of my life. And a few years back, Pat asked me to share down here, and I don't know how many of you guys even remember that, but I shared a little bit about these sleeves that Starbucks came out with that had Oprah sayings on them. I don't know if you guys remember these. Because I think this highlights, I'm not trying to pick on Oprah or anything like that, but I think what it highlights is that little distinction that we need to make is who is the main character of my story? Am I the main character of my story, or is somebody else the main character of my story? So these are some of the things that they started to put on their sleeves. You know, follow your passion, it will lead you to your purpose. The only courage you'll ever need is the courage to live the life you want. You know, be more splendid. Be more extraordinary. Use every moment to fill yourself up. Know what sparks the light in you. Then use that light to illuminate the world. Your life is big. Keep reaching. And these look and feel great as you start to read them. And yet, again, it's subtle, is that it's painting this picture that, you know, you are the most important person ever. And you are the main character of your story. It's all about you. And the editors of Christianity Today had a little bit of fun with this, and they edited these sleeves so that they're a little bit more correct, right? So follow your passions. It will lead you to ruin if that's all you follow, right? The only courage you ever need is the courage to sacrifice the life you want. Be more humble. Be more ordinary. Use every moment to empty yourself. No, God sparks the light in you. Then use that light to illuminate the world. Your life is small. Keep serving. And then this last one I think I like the most. I am here to shrink down to less. John the Baptist. Right? And yet it can be so subtle as we're in this culture that impresses on us, you are the most important person. You deserve to binge watch. You deserve all this stuff. To say, no, that is not true. God has called me into something so much greater where he is the main character of this story and I'm included in it. So with that a quick aside, as we're reflecting and expecting, understanding that we are not the main character, God is at work in our midst and we get the opportunity and the privilege to take part with him, we can start to look ahead. And as we think about expectation, or if you want to call them goals or resolutions or whatever it might be, as you think about this next year, of who you are. I'm thinking way deeper than gym memberships and number of books you want to read. I'm thinking about what will your spiritual life look like this coming year? Where will you delight in the Lord this coming year? What will it look like to take joy in sacrificing the life you want for the life that God asks you to give? And in these verses in Ephesians 5, I feel like are so poignant for a time like this, when you're wanting to think about those things deeply. And just this language of look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wouldn't that be great if in 2019 I understood what the will of the Lord is? I was able to walk in that wisely. I understood that I could look carefully and do that. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I feel like this is the counterintuitive nature of the gospel. It's the counterintuitive nature of life. What often feels like death is actually life to us. When we kill our flesh, it feels like death. It feels like we're dying. But on the other side of that is life in the Spirit. And this really, for some reason, it took this experience for it to really ring true in my heart. One night I was driving back with my wife, and at the time we just had one daughter. We were driving back from Denver, where most of my family lives. And it was late, 9, 10 at night, and my wife was tired. So she was trying the whole time in the car ride to find a position where she could sleep. And for an hour and a half, it didn't happen. And so we finally rolled into Fort Collins, and the whole time I was trying to be quiet so she could sleep. Never happened. And we rolled into Fort Collins. I was like, how come you never fell asleep? Like, what's going on? You just kind of feel restless. And she said, I could never get comfortable, so I couldn't fall asleep. And, you know, maybe my weird brain at 10:30, I'm like, bingo! Oh my goodness, spiritual truth! That's amazing! And she's like, I don't know what you're thinking about right now. When we are uncomfortable, it is hard for us to spiritually fall asleep. And as we get lackadaisical and we get comfortable in our flesh, our faith starts to slowly fall asleep. And so even as we think about what does 2019 look like, if we say, I really want 2019 to be uncomfortable and feel like death. Boy, sign me up for that. You know, maybe some of us just are gluttons for punishment. But in reality, do you believe that that is the heart of the gospel? That your faith will be even more alive and even more awake if God were to maybe introduce some things that are uncomfortable, that doesn't let you fall asleep and doesn't let you just grow carnally comforted with this world? Obviously, a lot of times people think of these verses with the new year, just that straining ahead. But I kind of want to point out what is Paul straining towards as we read this passage, Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And there's this posture that Paul had of striving ahead, of expecting, of longing and desiring something more. But what was it? What was he striving towards? Feel free to offer any feedback. What's that? The prize of the upward call? Yeah, the upward call of God. So often we can say like, yeah, just like Paul, I'm going to knock out this workout. You know, I'm straining ahead towards what's coming. But for Paul, he had his eyes set eternally and spiritually to say, I'm striving towards that new life where Jesus is the main character of my life and he is bringing me into his story of what he's doing. I'm going to forget what lies behind that story where I thought I was the main character and I was going to get all the glory and everything that I wanted. Because the life that he's given me, these verses ahead, he says, I consider all things loss compared to knowing Christ. and to steep myself and to marinate myself so thickly in the gospel that that would be my heart's desire. That's something to grow into. That's something to work towards this coming year. And lastly, I think with this tension that obviously life isn't all about me. I am not the main character. However, there is something that marvels Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever caught this in the Gospels. There's times where Jesus just stands back and goes, whoa, that is really cool. I'm just amazed at that. And that's with faith. That's faith. Our deep trust in the nature and person of God. It marvels him when he sees it, and it marvels him when he doesn't see it. In Mark 6, he went to his hometown. It says he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. With the centurion, it says, he said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. I am amazed at this. And what really brought Jesus' attention in people, again, wasn't these outer things that we think of. It was faith and a trust and understanding. You have authority, Jesus, to do as you say. And Jesus goes, I'm amazed at that. That is real, authentic faith. And to see people that grew up with him, knew him, and yet didn't believe. He marvels at that. And so, in a sense, yes, you are not the main character of your story, but Jesus does have his eye on you. And he marvels as you think about this coming year, what it might look like to walk in faith. What are you trusting God for this coming year? And it might marvel him if you said nothing. It might marvel him in a bad way. And to say, I don't really believe God for anything. There's nothing good or bad. I don't know. It'll just be whatever it is. And an opportunity in a connection with your Savior to say, I want to trust you, Lord, into this. Because we were made for greatness. I believe that. We often start with the, I'm so great. I want to be so great. And we say, that's obviously not going to work. That's just going to be pride. That's going to lead to my downfall. We're so great. We're this thing. We're so awesome. No, God's moving us to this place. God is so great. I was made for his greatness, to enter in with him. So to finish this morning, just in same groups, you guys can chat again, 5-10 minutes. What are your expectations? Where is your faith? What are you trusting God for today and for this year? What are your hopes and dreams for God's kingdom this coming year? Where would you love to see an inbreaking, a shaft of light into darkness this coming year? What aspects of walking in God's Spirit would be especially meaningful for you this year? Is there an aspect where you just, God, you've got to break through. There's this block. I'm stuck here. I can't walk in your Spirit here in these patterns that I'm in now. I need you to touch that. I need you to move me into that. What relationships would you like to intentionally pursue this coming year for God's glory? And how can you and we position our lives to swim upstream of the carnal, comfort-driven culture around us, where Siri and Alexa or whoever is on our phone is at our whim to do whatever we want because we're everything? How are we going to swim upstream of that and remember that Jesus is the main character of my story? So again, in groups, share some expectations. My hope, again, is just that this is a little bit of a primer to get you going, and that this week you might have some time, again, as groups and in community and on your own, to think about and to not just be on that treadmill of just doing what I've always done, but to stand up, consider my ways, what am I expecting going forward? So 5-10 minutes, and then I'll wrap us up. I just encourage you to continue this conversation. Don't let it stop this morning. And I really appreciate that last song that Scott and Pat and Molly and Amy led us in about, you know, the real story of our lives is the meta-narrative of the Bible, that God is in a redemptive mission, and one day Jesus is coming back. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus came back in 2019? How awesome would that be? And there would be so much joy in entering his presence. And just to leave us with that hope and that expectation that ultimately, 1 Peter 1:13, set your hope fully on the day that grace will be given to you. So whether, right, a lot of the things we think about for this coming year happen, our full hope, our final hope, our ultimate hope on that final day. And I just love the language of Isaiah, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And just the hope and expectation that he lived with 700 years even before the Savior. And saying, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. That's amazing. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they might declare my praise. God is making all things new. Jesus is making all things new in his redemptive plan. And we get a small portion of that in 2019, maybe the full portion if he were to come back. How amazing would that be? And for our whole hope to be set there, and for God to drive that deeper into our souls as we go into this new year. So please don't miss this opportunity culturally, as everybody's thinking about resolutions and goals and all these things, for it to be a little bit more meaningful and a little bit more in-depth and rich than just how many books I'm going to read or whatever. Those are good things. But first start with the heart of it, and let that then inform any disciplines or things or habits that you want to walk into as we start this new exciting year of 2019, living in the future. Welcome to it. So let me pray and close this morning. Jesus, we do thank you that you are making all things new. You're going to make me completely new. I'm so excited for that day we get to see you face to face. There'll be no more mirror dimly. It'll be perfect relationship, just one-on-one. And we long for that day. I pray that you would help us as we think about this coming year, if there's any resolutions or goals or things we're thinking about, for it to be informed by that reality, that ultimate hope we have in you of what you're doing redemptively. And we pray that we'd be a community that is expectant. We pray we'd be a community that's expectant and not marveled at by you by our lack of belief. We pray we wouldn't be so comfortable and so, we feel like we understand you so well that we don't believe you for anything. And keep us from apathy. Keep us from just living in that middle lukewarm state. God, we pray you'd stir us up, help us to see where you're at work, and to join you with that. And we thank you for what you've done this past year. Help us to reflect and to remember all that you want us to in that. Thank you for this morning. In your name, amen. All right. Thanks.